道你的真理，你听我们的祷告，奉主耶稣基督的名，
阿门。
自从1859年达尔文写 The Origin of Species 到现在，
Since 1859 Darwin has written this Origin of Species until today，
在这147年里面，
For this 147 years，
已经许多许多的知识分子把进化论当作就是真理，
Many of the intellectuals deem evolution as the truth，
还有一些人虽然不当作是真理，把它当作是科学，
And there are some who do not deem it as the truth but deem it as a science，
还有另外一些人把它不当真理不当科学，当作是很有可能的一件历史，
And there are also people who do not deem it as the truth of science but deem it something which is possible。
如果真正物种是照着那个理论变化，
If this species evolve in that manner，
为什么在古代有许多的物种一直变化到现在这么多的分类？
Why is it in the past there are so many species and evolved until today there are many different species？
而这几千年人类文化里面，
And for this culture that happened for a thousand and thousand years，
从来没有一个民族记载从狗变成猫，猫变成什么这种历史。
And we have not seen even a single nation that recorded the history whereby the cat will change to dog。
是不是动物看见人会记载了它就不变
了？ Would it be because the animal see that man recorded and they won't evolve again？
不要把它改变的历史给你记录下来。
So that man would not be able to write the history of the evolution。
所以这种变化的可能，
And this kind of possibility of change，
到底是不是一个历史事实呢？
Is it a historical fact？
我们已经思想到了什么叫做 macro evolution and micro evolution。
Where we discuss what is micro and macro evolution。
所谓的 macro evolution，
when you say macro evolution，
宏观的进化学说。
Macro evolution，
是 micro evolution
and micro evolution，
微观的进化学说。
And that's micro evolution，
宏观的进化学说。
And the macro evolution，
包括从类变成变种类。
And even from one family thing to another，
微观的进化学说，
And this microevolution，
就是从一个类的里面有一些微小的变化，
That within the family there are some very minute kind of evolution。
科学的事实告诉我们，
And but scientific truth tell us，
是在彼此交配的同宗同类里面，
That within the family the interbreeding
可能会产生变化，
There might be a change。
而这个变化是在同类里面的变化，
But it's within the same family。
但是从一个类变成另外一个类是根本没有可能的。
But for one species to change another species is not possible。
也未曾没有过历史的记录。
And there has not been history recording of that。
在实际的实验中间也没有发生过。
But in a real experiment nothing of this will happen。
进化论的学说本身是蕴含着很多莫名其妙没有被证明的非科学的假设。
So in evolution theory there are this called presupposition that has never been proven。
你们读过生物学的时候，
When you study biology，
你们曾经明白什么叫做介枝的问题。
You have also studied about grafting。
你把苹果树的枝子，
If you take also a branch from apple tree，
接在桃子的树枝上面，
graft it onto the grape，
就桃， no， 不是葡萄，桃子，桃叫什么
？peach，
从这桃树的树枝就跑到苹果枝的枝里面了。
So this that the branch of peach now entering into the branch of apple，
也就产生了一种的果子，有一点桃的味道，又有苹果的味道，叫做桃苹果。
And it produces a mixture whereby a little bit like apple, a little bit like peach。
这种就可以增进我们对植物的欣赏，味道不同的这个新的经验。
Then they will increase the experience of the new taste of the plants。
那么这个种里面的种子可以再种出来吗？
And this seed can it be planted？
在植物里面好像比动物更有可能。
In plants life probably there's more possibility as compared to animal life。
但是在动物里面，
In animal world, totally it is not possible。
人曾经妙想天开，
Man has tried to think about this way。
也就是说呢，把马
And this a horse
跟驴
And try to mate it with this donkey，
把它们做媒，把它配合起来。
And try to intermarriage them。
做媒的人会吃猪脚，对不对？
And if you want to be this or that，
做媒人怎么讲？
Matchmaker。
A matchmaker usually get some gift from both sides。 那么这个把马跟驴把它配合起来。
So you want to get in the breeding between this horse and of the donkey.
雄马。
And also the male horse.
雌驴。
And also the female donkey.
把它们配合起来。
And so they make them together.
这个马看这太太不像样。
And then this horse will see that, well, this donkey is not like his wife.
这个太太就像这个马哥哥面孔跟我平常的朋友都不一样的。
And the same thing, this donkey woman see that this is not like my
wife. 所以他勉强配合了。
So you try to meet it.
结果怎么样呢？
So finally what happened?
这个母驴就开始怀孕了。
And then it becomes to be pregnant.
那以后呢？当她就怀孕了以后。
So when he got married.
No, don't be too close. 我的声音是够大的。她以后怀孕了以后。
Later on when he got pregnant.
现在这个不响了。
When he got pregnant,
this one doesn't work. This too loud. Okay, 这个也。好，too loud, too loud, still too loud. This not loud enough. 所以不可以随便配好。后来这个母驴呢，就真的生出一个孩子出来了。
So when this donkey now get pregnant and give birth to a kid,
生出来的哈
，and the one that's born
又不是马。
Not like a horse,
又不是驴
，not like a donkey.
哇，你是很成功了。
So you say that now we're successful.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为人故意配有一个目的。
Because man trying to in the breeding with a purpose.
马跑很快。
Because horse run very fast.
但是马驮不重
，then it cannot take heavy weight.
驴驮很重
，but this donkey can bear heavy weight.
但驴跑不快
，but you want to run fast.
所以如果有一种动物。
But if there is a kind of animal,
背着很重的东西
and can bear heavy weight,
又跑得像马那么快的话
and can run fast like a horse,
那我们这些运输公司就得到运输公司的很多的利益可图了
then the transportation can make a profit.
所以后来生出的这个动物出来
So later on give birth to a kind of animal,
半马半驴
Half of it is like horse, half of it like a donkey.
不马不驴
And also not like a donkey,
又马又驴
As a horse, also is a long donkey.
不像马不像驴
Not like aHorse, not like a long donkey.
又像马，也像驴。
Like a horse, like a donkey.
那个生出来叫做什么呢
？What is that?
叫做驴。
That's a mule.
Mule.
That's a mule.
这驴呢，这耳朵不像驴那么长。
So the mule doesn't have a pair of this ear, which is like the donkey that's long.
身材不像马那么高。
And so that high as compared to the horse.
但是这个驴呢，可以背很重的东西。
But the mule can bear heavy weight.
哦，又可以跑得很快。
And can run fast.
跑的速度不输给马。
And the speed is comparable to the horse speed.
驮的背重不输给驴。
But also it can bear weight like a donkey.
哇，所以这个主人高兴不得了。你看我做没成功，你生出这种怪孩子出来了。
So this owner got so happy because you got a new breed coming.
所以给他做很重的工作。
And so let it bear a lot of weight.
那么讲运输呢就快得多了。
So then the transportation
赚的钱也赚得多了。
And make more money.
那好不好啊
？Is that good?
后来发生两件事情。
Later on, two things happened.
这个驴
，this mule,
有男驴，有女驴。
There's a male and a female.
雄的，雌的。
The male and a female mule.
当这个驴长大的时候
，when this mule get old and matured,
它没有办法跟别的结婚了。
It cannot marry to another one.
所以它就很闷，很苦。
And so it feels very uneasy.
因为这个种不是上帝造的。
Because this species is not given by God.
是人做媒把它硬硬做出来的。
The man tried to interbreed it.
所以养骡的人。
So those who breed this mule.
他就发现发一成功的骡发生了很大的困难。
They find that this magic mule has difficulties.
他们给他一个名字叫做反群。
And die this way.
反群 anti
community
multi-community.
Also give a name, say it's anti community.
所以他没有办法结婚。
So it cannot get married.
就没有办法有真正正常的动物之间交配的那个生活。
Cannot mate with others.
所以就反群的情绪出来。
So it has emotion that's anti community.
就很麻烦。
Troublesome.
不但如此。
Now you saw.
如果他正式可以交配的话。
If it can mate.
结果发现另外一件事情出来了
，something happened again，
没有办法生下第二代了
，cannot give birth to the second generation，
没有办法再生出来了
，cannot give birth to the second generation，
为什么呢
？Why？
因为上帝没有造这个类
，because God did not create this kind，
上帝造马
，God has created horse，
马生马子
，and horse will beget horse，
马子生马孙
，and also they beget horse again，
马孙生马曾孙
，and beget horse again。
生来生去还是马
，and so whatever generation it becomes also horse。
上帝造驴
，when God created donkey，
驴生驴子
，donkey will beget the donkey。
你把马跟驴配合生这个骡出来
，but if you made this horse and a donkey become a mule，
骡不能生骡子骡孙
，mule cannot give birth to the next generation。
这个类
，this kind of
违背上帝创造的规定
，go against the law of God's creation。
所以养马的人都知道这个事情
，so those who ride horse know this。
所以他们后来就。感到这个是不对的
so they totally find that this is not right
这是违背自然的
this is going against natural law
所以这样就应验了创世纪里面一句很重要
so it fulfills a very important statement in Genesis
创世纪第一章告诉我们
because Genesis chapter 1 says
上帝造万物
God created all things the world
各从其类
according to their kind
各从其类
according to their kind
各从其类
and according to their kind
这句话好多次出现
this statement appears many times
那是要告诉我们上帝早就预言了
only by just tell that God had predicted
你们不要乱来
don't simply make anything you like
你们不要故意与我作对
don't make a purpose to go against me
因为造类别生物的上帝
because God will create things according to its kind
没有看到也不许可类的跨越的这件事发生
it will not allow the transcrossing of this different kind
是罗的反群
so the mule being anti-community
跟罗的没有再生性
that the mule cannot give birth to the next generation
告诉我们这种配合是违背上帝的创造规
定 only by the tell that this kind of meeting is going against God's law of creation
有一个人叫做Nelson,
a person called Nelson.
这个人写了一本书叫做 After Its Kind.
And he written a book called After Its Kind.
各从其类
After Its Kind.
他整本书就是讨论到这个神的创造跟进化的假设之间不同的地方在哪里。
And the whole book discusses about evolution and the difference of it compared to the creation of God.
这本书好像没有翻成中文。
I probably remember rightly that it has not been translated into Chinese.
我17岁的时候
When I was 17,
我因为非常烦闷，到底基督教的信仰是真理呢，或者是科学的进化论才是真理
I was trying to find out whether Christianity is the truth or evolution is the truth.
所以那个时候心中乱得不得了
So I was so confused in my heart.
最后其中有一本书给我很大的帮助，就是这本书
And later on, this book helped me a lot.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹
My dear brothers and sisters,
进化论的困难是这些吗
And the question of problem evolution are they only this?
不但是如此
Not only so
我们看见动物遗传下去的时候
We can see that then these animals pass from one generation to another
有个非常重要的证据
There's a very important evidence
就是血液里面隐藏的生命的本质
That is, if the blood is contained the essence of life
人生人的时候
When man begets man
就传下了人的血痛
It passes out the blood of man.
人的血有 A 型 B 型 AB 型 O 型还有一些次等的小小的那些的不同的点在里面
And in the blood of humankind there is an A type a B type O type AB type and the rest
那么什么东西是一个一种类的血有这种特性在里面的
Whatever kind of things they have their own special nature in the blood
真正把一个类定成这个血统的特质的就是染色体的数目
The characteristic actually that fixes this species and that species is the chromosome number
是人有人的染色体的数目
So man has their own number of chromosomes
马有马的染色体的数目
So the horses have their own chromosome number
可是绝对不能混乱
It cannot be confused
所以这样呢人类生人类一直生下去生人类无论你是 A 的跟 B 的结婚不要紧 离了跟恶的结婚不要紧，恶的跟 AB 结婚也不要紧。
Even with humankind, different blood types is okay. They have the intermarriage because they'll beget men.
那么这个血统的传下去
，so this passing down of this blood
就保持了这个类的延续。
So it maintained the continuity of the different species.
那到底有没有改类，以至于血统的染色体是否改变，变成别的类，从一种类生出来这样的事情？
Is there a possibility of the changing of this blood type so that different kind of chromosome numbers are created?
没有这样的事。
No.
所以你说为什么如果是这样的话，人类如果上帝造亚当夏娃，那么到底亚当什么型，夏娃又什么型，怎么会变成有 O 型有 B 型有 AB 型四种会出来？
So that if you say that God has created Adam and Eve, what kind of blood type Adam has and Eve have so that they're different kind of blood type with us?
我曾经为这个事情我去查了一些的东西。
And because of that I checked some materials.
后来我发现了一个人如果 A 的，他的妻子是 B 的。
I find that if a person, a man has A type and a wife B type,
到第二代还不能出四种。
When it comes to the second generation, there will not be four types.
但是到了第三代、第四代就可以变成四种。
When it comes to the third and the fourth generation, it is possible there are four different types of blood.
所以这样人的 AB 型结合以后产生的变化，这个可能性是没问题。
So with the AB type, when they get married later on to produce different kind of blood type, it is possible.
像你就假定亚当是 A 型，夏娃是 B 型。
So if you were to assume that Adam had the A blood type and Eve had B blood type,
那个夏娃不是从亚当的骨头肋骨拿出来造的，为什么一个 A 一个 B 呢？
Wasn't it that this Eve was created with the ribs of Adam? How can it be the AB?
因为上帝造每一个人是有独特性的。
Because God created everybody with uniqueness.
这更显出他不是完全照着原有的一个生命，而是上帝创造功能在夏娃的身上。
All the more but to manifest that God did not repeat his creation but create Adam's uniqueness.
像男人有男人的这个特征，
So man has man's characteristics.
女人有女人的特征，
Woman has woman's characteristics.
比如说他们两个一个 A 一个 B 的话，
For instance if the two of them one is A one is B,
到了第三第四代四种就可以定型。
When it comes to third and fourth generation, four different blood types.
医学在科学里面是根本没有困难。
In medical field, in scientific field, there's no problem with this.
是一个哪一个是 A, 哪一个 B, 以后你见到他的时候，你不要忘记问他就是。
But then who is A type, who is B type, when later on you see Adam and Eve, ask them.
像人类的染色体。
So the human kind's chromosome.
数目是固定的。
And the numbers are fixed.
像传了几千代还是人类的男。
So coming to a thousand generations, still the same chromosome as humankind.
还是照着上帝各从其类的创造的原理来。
So then it becomes also the law of creation of God according to after his time.
现在的医学越来越进步了。
So medical field today is so advanced.
发现了许多叫做 RNA, DNA 这些的东西。
So they discover RNA and DNA.
这些都是上帝捆锁一个类在特别的特征中间没有办法随便改变的一个办法。
And this is also a way that got locked. Humankind as according to our kind.
那你们都知道前几十多年有一个苏格兰人用这个叫做 cloning 的办法。就把一只羊把它复制成功了。
So a few decades ago, there was this Scottish who actually cloned this lamb.
所以把一只羊里面的 DNA 拿出来，
and
干细胞拿出来，
take the DNA of this stem cell of this lamb and then try to clone it.
后来就 clone 了变成一只新的羊出来。
Clone it and a new lamb came about.
所以那一只羊不需要羊公跟羊母结婚就可以生出来。
And that lamb is produced after the breeding of a male and a female lamb.
他就给那只羊叫做 Dolly， 给名字叫 Dolly。
The name is named Dolly。
这个 Dolly 后来呢，几年以后很快就死了。
And this Dolly dies at very young age.
这个事情成功的时候
，So when this thing was successful，
很多人因为你看人也可以创造羊，不需要上帝。
Other people say, man created lamb and they do not need God at all.
但等到 Dolly 死的时候，
But when Dolly dies,
很多人就要研究为什么他这么早就死了。
Other people want to study why is that it died so fast.
当这个复制的医学已经成就的时候，
So when this cloning medicines become successful,
很多人就这样讲了。
Other people say,
这个国家有个很伟大的人，
and this is a great figure in this nation.
我们一直等别人生出来像他这么伟大的，没有办法，不要紧，把他复制多几个就好了。
We are waiting for this hero to be born in this nation, but no, but they can be cloned.
还有一个人对我说：“唐牧师，你到处解答问题，你这么忙，复制几个唐青龙。”跑来跑去就好了。
He said, Reverend Tong, you're so busy going all places to answer questions. Why don't clone a few Stephen Tong?
其实复制羊呢
？If when you clone the lamb,
复制老鼠
；when you claim clone also rat,
复制动物
；and also you clone animals,
复制人是完全全不一样。
But as compared to clone man, it's totally two different things.
复制人的危险性大得不得了。
Because there's still a great danger in cloning humankind.
那现在我不讲那个了。
I'm not going to talk about that.
我就说为什么 Dolly 很快就死了呢
？Why is it Dolly dies early?
原来 Dolly 复制的时候
，because at the time when Dolly was cloned，
他是拿了他的母体里面的一个干细胞把它复制的。
He took the stem cell of the mother and cloned it.
那但是呢
，But then
这个母体里面的干细胞里面的 DNA，
the DNA in the stem cell of this mother
拿出来的时候
，after it has been taken out，
那个就是在母体的那。年龄
and that's actually the age of that motherland.
所以用那个干细胞复制那个新的一个羊
So when this stem cell cloned to become a new lamb,
这个羊生成功的 baby 的时候，年龄就跟他妈妈一样老
Even though it is just a baby, but she's as old as the mother.
因为 DNA 的下面两只脚
because there are two legs.
因为我们的年龄增加，它一直断掉，一直断掉，一直断掉，一直断掉
and then it becomes fractured.
所以现在比如说哈
Now, for instance,
我们把李建安的干细胞拿出来
，We take a stem cell of 李建安，
我们做了一个复制的李建安
，And we clone 了李建安。
这李建安生出小小的
，It's born with a small stature，
是个 baby 嘛
，It's a baby，
今天生出来了
，Today is born，
做成功了
，And it's successful，
就是李建安的复制品
，It is a cloning of 李建安，
有一定样样的
，It will be like him，
脸孔一样样
，The same face，
声音一样样
，Same voice，
头发一样样
，Same hand，
完全一样样
，Totally the same，
就是这个李建安是老李建安那。那个是小李建南，那是
old 李建南，那是 small 李建南。
那个山刚刚生出来的李建南
，But that's 李建南 was a newly cloned。
生出来那一天
，the day when it was born，
几岁啊
？How old？
就是他这样老。
My age？
为什么呢
？Why？
因为就从他现在已经断掉很多的，剩下一点的那 DNA 的干细胞拿出来的。
Because it's taken from that fractured stem cell。
所以人类医学何等发达。
So no matter how advanced man science is,
越研究越发现生命是上帝创造。
The more that they study, the more they got to acknowledge that life is created by God.
二三十年以前
，and 20 or 30 years ago，
他们第一次这个细这个叫做试管婴孩做成功的时候
，when they have a source of something attached to baby，
人就以为可以抵挡上帝了。
Man thought that they can go against God now.
其实这就是很好笑的事。
But this is laughable.
人的这个复制生命成功的时候
，when duplicating this life was successful，
以为可以抵挡上帝了。
They thought that they can go against God.
圣经诗篇第二篇告诉我们
，but some the two says。
地上的人抵挡上帝的时候
，When the people of the world rose against God，
坐在天上的比发笑
，God who is seated in heaven will laugh，
上帝比嗤笑他们
，And God will mock at them，
因为你们以为你们可以抵挡上帝
，You thought they can go against God，
天网恢恢，疏而不漏
，You know that nothing can run away from God，
上帝所预定的、所预备的、所制造的生命规律是严谨到一个地步。人是没有办法随便对待的。
What God has predetermined, it will not be changed by man.
所以这样进化论是越久遇到越多困难。
So evolution, the longer it takes, the more problem it faces.
因为进化论从起先就是个很幼稚的假设。
Because from the very beginning, this evolution have a very childish kind of presupposition.
变就变成这样伟大的人。
He said if a change evolves and then become a man.
那么这个变是从一个幼稚的乐观思想产生出来的
，But this can become coming from a very childish optimism.
It is based on a very naive optimism.
Naive optimism.
为什么说是很幼稚的乐观呢
？Why say we say it's very naive optimism?
想想万物是会自己变得越来越好。
It thought that the things of the world can by itself evolve to become
会越来越厉害，越来越复杂，越来越完美，越来越高超
，more perfect。
结果最后就变成人了。
But finally, it turned to be man. You say.
那么这种 变化的幼稚乐观什么时候开始的？
This kind of naive optimism evolution, where did it begin?
完全不是从达尔文开始。
It totally did not begin with Darwin.
达尔文以前100年就有个法国的科学家叫做 Lamarck。
100 years before Darwin, in France, there's a scientist called Lamarck.
他的思想一件事情，
he thought of a thing,
就是后天性的性是不是能遗传给下一代。
后天
先天就是与生俱来叫做先天，后天就是不是明天的明天叫后天，是你生下来以后才学到的东西。
okay, the thing that you learn not being born but after your birth,
the things you learn after your birth, notinstinctively inherited since your birth,
not innate and not inborn.
但是你生了以后，
but after you are born,
你慢慢学
slowly you learn that process.
你学到的东西会不会传给你下一代？
And things that you learn that can it pass to your next generation?
拉曼这个思想是很尖锐的思想。
拉曼 have very sharp thinking.
我们要思想一个问题。
We only think about one thing.
如果我读书读得半死，
if I were to study very hard,
后来变成一个很有学问的人，
and become someone very learned,
等我很有学问才结婚，
when I'm very learned, I got married,
我所学的就变成我的孩子的学问，那好不好？
all the knowledge that I acquire now become my children's knowledge.
我的孩子一生出来就像我这么有学问，
then when my kid is born, he can as learned as myself.
等他长大，再学到他老的时候，
when he grows and matured and learn again,
那学问比我更多了几倍了。
So he has more knowledge compared to myself.
他故意不要早结婚，等他学得很厉害才结婚。
He doesn't want, he doesn't want to get married early until he's matured yet.
再生第三代，一生下来就比大学教授更厉害。
And given the third generation who is more modern than professor in the university.
如果后天的性可以遗传的话，
if something you learn after your birth can be inherited,
那么这个就可能变成进化论一个重要的基础。
That could be a real foundation of evolution.
这些都是很多人曾经想过的。我们很多人就是想每天有没有起家，下个礼拜我到哪里玩呢？这些平常的思想，也很多人在想是没有什么用处。就是
Great thinkers actually have thought of many things, but we only think of superficial things.
所以拉马克的思想，
所以拉马克 thinking
就有关于后天性的性遗传的问题。
About the inheriting of this learned acquired habit.
那举一个很简单的例子。
For instance.
蜜蜂采蜜的时候，
you know, it's for the bee for them to have this honey.
它头就钻到花里面去。
So when the head went into the flower,
要把蜜吸出来。
And also suck out the honey.
结果那个蜜的那些花魂呢？
And the pollen
还没有变成蜜的时候，花粉就塞住它的鼻子。
Before it changed to be honey, it blocked its nostril.
所以它就根本不能够呼吸。
So with the nostril, they cannot breathe.
所以怎么办呢？
What to do now?
它就把它的脚拿出来。
Then it will stretch out the legs and then clean the nostril.
那这个脚呢，刚好有很多细细的毛刺，我就变成刷子把它弄清洁。
And there's more of these brushes that brush away those pollen.
刚刚刷好了，再采蜜的时候，又跑跑进去了。
So again, when they try to have this pollen again, the same thing happened.
马上要再拿出来。
So the cleansing process is repeated.
所以蜜蜂有点像苍蝇，对不对呢？
So the bees, 对不对呢？ Just like the flies.
不一样的。
No.
苍蝇采蜜还没有采就窒息而死。
Because if the fly would take the pollen, they will die. They will die.
因为它的脚没有那个东西。
Because it doesn't have that kind of hair.
现在我就问你一个问题。
And ask a question.
是它采蜜发现脚没有毛是不能够的，所以慢慢的就快快生毛，快快生毛。他就命令他生毛了，他先死的嘛，毛还没生出来。
It is because, is it because when it get a pollen and block it without the hair to brush and it command it to bear this hair,
so
that cannot be.
是不是他呢？知道如果这个采蜜的七八门没有这个毛，我就没有办法，所以呢，就命令自己的脚快快生毛，快快生毛。后来这个生一点点，然后他对他的太太说。我结婚的时候，请你把我的毛也传下去，好不好？这个叫做后天性的遗传。
So that is the learning process after your birth can it be inherited?
我告诉你，不是的。
It cannot be.
是上帝造它是蜜蜂。
It is because God created it to be a bee.
就是为了它要采蜜。
So that it will take the pollen.
就把这个毛放在它的脚上。
So put the hair on the legs.
跟后天性的性遗传是没有关系。
I can compare to acquired habit, it is different.
因为如果他先采蜜，然后再命令他的脚生毛， 那么这样呢，还没有生出来以前，它早就死几次了。
Because if we were to have the pollination first before the hair is born, and then give a command to the hair to be coming about, it's not possible.
是万有被造的时候
，when all things are created,
一定有最高的智慧安排实际一切。
There must be highest wisdom that design all this.
这绝对不是科学家来得及帮忙的事情。
It is not absolutely not the scientist who has a help in time.
我们为什么发明飞机呢
？Why is that we invent this plane, this airplane?
命令我们的两个肩膀伸直旁出来吧，伸直旁出来吧。因为我发现走路太慢了，后来就翅膀就伸出来了。
Why not we command our body to give birth to the two wings so that we can fly?
所以生物是用进化产生变异类的吗
？So if this living being evolved from one species to another.
是因为在习惯的长成中间传到下一代的吗
？It is because the acquired habit passes the next generation.
所以都是没有办法用我们这简单的进化论去了解出来。
It all cannot be understood by this simple evolution theory.
所以进化论是建立在很幼稚的乐观的思想上。
So evolution is founded on this very naive optimism.
所以这种幼稚的乐观不是真正科学的考察。
So this naive optimism is not a true test of science.
那么后来在物理学里面就发生了一条定律了。
So later on in physics there was a law that came to be.
这个定律是叫做 thermodynamic second law.
Thermodynamic second law of thermodynamic.
我要你们把这名字写下来。
The second law of thermodynamic.
T-H-E-R-M-O. Thermodynamic. D-Y-M-A-N-A-M-I-C. Thermodynamic, the second law.
Second law of thermodynamic.
那你如果能够这一个在这个你们的 internet 去查一下。
You can check it from internet.
你知道所谓的这个热力。物理学叫做 thermodynamic in physics,
thermodynamic in physics.
里面有一个字叫做 entropy.
There's a word called entropy.
A-N-T-H-R-O-P-Y.
Entropy.
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 那这个字中文叫做商，就是火字旁一个做生意的商人的商。
The、entropy.
啊，就是火再加上这个南洋商道那个商。那这个 entropy 什么意思呢
？The entropy. What do you mean by that?
就是物质。在经过长久的岁月的这个经历以后
matter with a passage of long period of time
它到底是会越来越好吗
would it become more and more order
会不会越来越不好呢
or more disorder
好我们说这个东西我买了新书这么漂亮我很高兴我放在那边
you see I buy a new book it's very lovable I leave it there
这个书会不会越来越漂亮越来越漂亮越来越新越来越好越来越进步会不会呢
Will this book advance and become more and more new?
不会的
No
它过了二十年以后呢
After 20 years
糟糕黄了
it turned to be yellow
皱了
Tend to be wrinkled,
糟糕变成脏了
Tend to be dirty,
变得不大好了
Not too good now
而且已经开始就变成干起来了
And start to dry up
纸也很容易裂破了
And start to crack
为什么呢
Why?
这都是我们的经验
That's our experience
一切的一切都在这个解都在退都在越来越旧的过程中
For all things is in the process of disintegrating
所以当你买一件新的东西那一天你高兴得不得了
So when you buy something new you're so happy at the time when you bought it
过不久你买的东西坏了你气得不得了
But then on it gets out of function you get so angry
所以你说不要买那种东西
Don't buy the kind of thing
要买那些不容易坏的
Buy those things that will not disintegrate so fast
你会不会 把你整个月的薪水全部拿去买花呢
Will you spend all your money to buy flowers
等到一笔的时候变成臭的半死
Become the end of the month it turns to be bad
你说我买金刚钻还不错它不会臭不会坏不会皱不会烂
You say I buy diamond is better
所以那些东西比较不会坏的就有长久存在的价值
And that thing that cannot get bad easily have some more eternal value
那些比较容易坏的一定会丢掉它
And those things that can get bad easily you want to throw it away
你不会说、这个面这么好吃
You say this noodle is good.
我好几年没有吃到这样的面。
And for years, I haven't taken this noodle.
所以我把这个面不要吃完，剩下一点，轮到我 二十年以后再纪念他。
I keep a little bit of it. 20 years later, I want to remember it.
没有那种神经病的人。
No such things.
就是你爱人煮的，你也把它丢掉。
Even cooked by your lover, you want to throw it away.
你说我留下一碗。
You say I want to keep a bowl.
就是我的爱人煮的，每一年我就拿一点来吃。
It's cooked by my lover in a year.
每一年拿一点来吃。
Take a little bit.
你吃到第三年泻肚子，你就死掉了。
On the third year, you're very
bad. 那是毁坏的东西。
Because something that will destroy you.
但是我告诉你。全宇宙东中间的东西
in the thing of, in the whole universe,
都在这个 process of decadence.
Is in the process of decadence.
什么意思呢？
What do you mean by that?
就它的永久，它的衰老，它的变化，它变成破旧，变成坏。所以从物理学、热力学的第二个定律来看
，from the second thermodynamic law，
你判断会进步、进化越来越好、越来越好，这个观念的本身就是一个非常幼稚的乐观。
Your concept hoping that something become better and better, this very naive kind of optimism.
那你说人类不是进步了吗
？Isn't it that man has advanced？
我告诉你，进步的是智慧的产品，而不是人类的本身。
What is advanced is a product of wisdom, not man himself.
所以呢
so,
我们看见从前的人
the people of the past,
好像没有现在的人这样聪明
not like we so wise today.
其实这句话就讲错了
but actually this statement is wrong.
从前的人可以做金字塔
people of the past can make a pyramid.
那个时候金字塔用几十万人把它建起来
and also pyramids, they spent decades to build one pyramid.
但真正设计金字塔的人
but the one who designed pyramid,
他的智慧不会比今天 MIT 哈佛大学的工程系的那些学生的头脑还更低。
His mind would not be less intelligent as compared to the MIT professor of students.
现在我们可以建三位旅馆。
Now we can build this 三位 hotel.
我们可以建 KLCC.
KLCC.
我们可以建这个很大的飞机场。
We can build also big airport.
但你不要忘记，我们现在用的工具是很进步的。
But don't forget the tools instrument they use are very advanced tools.
如果没有这些累积起来的智慧。所做的工具帮助我们现在的人会不会做像从前的人做金字塔
Without this tool that comes from the accumulated the wisdom of mankind can we now make LCC?
所以我们应当分开来说
So we have biggest two issues
是人在进步或者是我们的智慧的结晶在堆积进步
Is it man who is advancing or the accumulation of man's wisdom is advancing?
有的人说现在医学已经很进步了
Some say that medical field today is so advanced
所以人现在会活得很长命
So man can live longer today
你的人活得很长命是不是因为人类的生命的本质身体的本质自己正在提高呢
Now we say that man can live longer It is because the essence of man is improving
我只能说
I can say
人类用药物维持我们继续可以活下去的力量是在增加而不是人的生命自己越来越健壮
Man can only say that it's the medicine's aid that help man to live longer, not because we get stronger with our own body.
当有心脏病的人开始吃一些心脏药的时候
，and those have heart disease when they eat some medicine for heart disease,
他知道他就要吃这种心脏药，吃到十的那一天，因为他就是越来越糟糕。
He know that he got to take this medicine of the heart until he dies.
所以现在的药物。维持我们，使我们比我们的祖先更长命。
So it is the medicine that sustains us, so that we live longer as compared to our ancestors.
而不是我们的生命在进化空间越来越强壮，比我们的祖先更厉害。
It's not that our body evolving so that we are stronger than our ancestors.
是 entropy 的事情。
The entropy
是对进化的一个很大的讽刺。
It is a very good satire to this evolution.
普通人只把进化论当作一种哲学性的真理来接受的时候
，When people accept this evolution as a philosophical truth
你就没看见进化论本身面对的困难是多得不得了
then you will not see that there are so many problems that the evolution is facing
所以基督徒要很客观的
so Christian must be objective
从更多的事实去看出
from more facts when to see things
进化论所遇到的困难到底是什么
and what are the problems of evolution they encounter
接下来我要再讲另外一个进化论遇到的困难
One more problem encountered by this evolution is
这就是所谓 missing link That's a
missing link.
什么叫做 missing link 呢？
What do you mean? Missing link.
就是失去的那些环。
That's the link which is missing.
什么叫做失去的环呢？
What a link which is missing.
如果从这一类变成那一类。
From this kind change to that kind. 它
不会突然间就变成那一类。
It cannot suddenly change to that kind.
它一定慢慢变。到最后变成那一类。
But slowly evolving from one kind into another kind.
这样从这一类变成那一类。
So from this kind to evolve to the other kind.
中间一定有环存在的。
There must be an in between.
那么这些渐变中间的环在哪里？
And this in between of the two kinds, where are they?
这个到底不是基督教信仰的问题。
And this is not a problem with the Christian faith.
是进化论自己的问题。
It is a problem of evolution.
比如说从一种类变成另外类的时候
one kind will evolve to another kind,
中间就有半前类半后类
then in between there must be a kind with half of this and half of that
中间的东西存在
and the in between appears
那么你如果找到一个的话
if you were to find one
你如果找到了
if you can find one
这一类不是那一类
and this kind is not that kind
也不是另外那一类
not the other kind
所以这类就证明进化曾经有不然怎么有这个东西出来
Only by the proof of evolution is true because if not, how can this in-between kind appear?
我问你，如果你找到一个
If you were to find one
你已经很高兴的话
When you're so happy with that
这一个是不生子呢或者有兄弟姐妹
And with it, it is a solo son or is that a brother or sister?
他是不是还有表哥堂妹表姐堂弟等等
And are they still cousins?
那么他的前一代下一代是不是有点像他或者慢慢变变化有一些不同的变化的这个记录呢
and the pre-generation and after generation is there a record saying that they actually evolved
所以如果内在变化中间
if there is a kind which is in the process of evolution
一定有千千万万变化从细节到最后大变的中间的那些记录存留在化石里面
If there is a record in the fossils of the changing between that process of changing from one kind to another,
但你现在很好笑的是什么？
What is laughable today?
突然间在法国找到一些像人不像人的东西。
Suddenly in France we discover something which is like man and not that human kind.
找到一个头，那这个就是进化论的记录了。
And with this car, you're so happy that there's a record of evolution. You say,
德国找到一个很特别的头颅。
And in Germany, you will find a scar.
哇，我们把它当作的很宝贵的这珍品。
You will deal it as a treasure.
所以这样的在史上。
But then in history,
自从1859年到现在。
From 1859 until today,
许多很重要的所谓猿人的化石留在这个世界。
So called a lot of this discovery of the ape fossil.
那么这些的化石重要的是哪一个呢
？And this fossil of all this, which is an important one?
有一个叫做 Heidelberg。Heidelberg man,
Heidelberg man,
海德堡人
Heidelberg man,
还有叫做 Neanderthal man,
Neanderthal man,
还有叫做 Cro-Magnon man,
Cro-Magnon man,
还有 East 这个 Tanzanica man,
Tanzanica man,
有叫 African man,
African man,
还有 Peking man,
Peking man,
还有 Java man,
Java man,
还有 Pitau man,
Pitau man,
啊这些我不知道你们有听过没有
？I don't know whether you've heard all this or not.
听过这些的请举手给我看看啊。那这些呢，在人与猿中间的化石
，this fossil, so to speak, between man and ape,
非常非常宝贵的
，and very very the precious.
一个荷兰人叫做 Dubois,
so that the Dutch got Dubois.
这个人在爪哇的一条河叫做梭罗河。
In Java, there's a river called Solo River.
你们很少人到过梭罗河。
And very few people has been there.
啊，你最多听过彭阿湾梭罗。
Only this song you've heard.
梭罗河的歌剧你都听到了。
And the Solo River.
那就在那个梭罗河那边。
So in that Solo River,
他找到一个头颅啊。
He discovered a scar.
他认为这就是人与猴子中间的那个人。
He said this is in between of humankind and ape.
他就找到几个牙齿。
And a few tooth.
或者找到一个腿骨。
And also a hint.
那么他把这个腿骨跟头颅跟牙齿把它结合起来，说这个就是进化的一个证据。
So with that, the bone of the leg and also with the tooth and also with the scar, they put it together and say this is in between.
Dubois 把这个东西带回荷兰阿姆斯特丹。
Dubois went back to Amsterdam, took it back to Amsterdam.
后来有一次在科学会议里面
，and there was one scientific conference.
人家是笑他
，people laugh at him.
这哪里算是话说？
这
到底算是人类历史这个猿人这个人与猴子之间变化的一个见证
There is the evidence of in between the ape and humankind
他发脾气
You got so angry.
把它收起来。
And keep it there.
不要给人家看。二十五年。
And 20 years he doesn't want people to see it.
到了年老的时候。
So when he got old.
人家好好对他说对不起，请拿出来，我们要再看你的东西。
When you see it,
他拿出来。
He took it back.
我告诉你。
I tell you.
他承认这个头骨跟腿骨之间相差50英尺拿出来的。
He admitted that this, the bone between the leg and the skull is about 55 feet.
以后如果我死了，你把我埋葬，我的腿会跑到很远的地方去吗？
And later on, when I die and you buried me, can my leg go play with far from my skull?
一个人死了，腿还会走。
And after
that, 那真是进化，我告诉你。
This leg can move.
这太厉害了。不但如此呢，
Not only so,
有的人认定他的头骨跟那个牙齿之间是完全不同的两类。
And people find that even the scar and the teeth belong to two different kinds.
现在很多的理论已经过去了。
So all of theory now passed.
其实二十世纪发现的 DNA 的问题。
So 20th century there's a discovery of DNA.
又可以从头拿来证明这块所谓的化石跟那块所谓同类同人的化石之间到底有没有关系。
They can actually take the DNA of the scar and also the bone of the leg and then compare see whether of the same kind or not.
严格的说起来。
And simply speaking,
上帝留下骨头存在世界上。
When God allowed this bone to be left in the world,
有一天要证明他的工作跟人的理论是不一样。
Only one day but to prove that the work of God is different from man's work.
所以二十年前
So 20 years ago,
有人认为 Tutankhamun 就是这个埃及法老中间最年轻的王。
And as I find that this man who is the youngest of the Egyptian dynasty,
那是关于造出他的头骨后面有个伤痕。
And find that at the scar back there's a hole,
而且是有痕迹在里面，有锈在里面。
And there's a scar with also rust
stain,
stain rust.
所以呢，他们说呢，一定是被人用这骨这个锤子或者用硬的东西把它敲破头暗杀他死的。
People might use a very hard material or maybe a hammer to hammer him and murder him.
Discovery Channel 曾报道过这个事情。
And Discovery Channel has reported it.
但是最后的研究证明这个理论是错的。
But finally, the study find that they disproved this theory.
所以现在生物学家
now the biologists
可以把所谓几百万年的化石
even the fossil with a so-called hundreds of years ago
拿出来从头用 DNA 的鉴定法去知道到底从前的理论对不对？
They can re-study and use a DNA method to prove or disprove the theory.
青年人不必太急接受进化论，也不必太急反对创造论。
So we as young people do not be too fast in embracing evolution or to oppose creation.
我就是不明白为什么上帝创造人，给人死了有身体腐化了，为什么骨头要存在？
Sometimes I wonder why that God created man that after we die, our body decays, and yet our bone is left.
那人就用几个所谓的化石来证明进化论是真对的。
And people use a few fossils just to prove that evolution is right.
那有关于这些化石一个一个把它弹出来。
And this fossil, if we discuss one by one,
你会感到有很多相当好笑的成分在里面。
You will find that there are some laughable elements in it.
所以有人说杜波瓦是找到爪哇猿人。
And people will say that Du Bois has found this Java ape.
一部分是小孩子的头骨。
Part of it is the scar of a young kid.
那个腿可能是猴子的腿。
And maybe the leg belongs to the monkey.
那个牙齿可能是别的牙齿。
And that teeth may belong to other kind.
所以人硬硬把它凑起来说，这是我们的祖宗，我们的祖宗。
So we may try to put it together and say that these are ancestors.
这个本身就不是科学的方法来证明这是一件事实。
It itself is not a poor scientific methodology.
我在讲第二种人。
The second man.
第二种人叫做 Cro-Magnon.
Cro-Magnon.
C-R-O-M-A-G-N-O-N.
Cro-Magnon,
Cro-Magnon man,
Cro-Magnon man,
这个他的头骨大到一个地步
，the sky is very big,
被认为里面的脑至少有1600公分以上
，and probably in it the brain about 1600 cc.
我们现在人这个头骨里面脑装的大概平均是1500 cc.
And our brain is about 1500 cc.
所以这个有人就在 Cro-Magnon 的头骨里面的容积算出来。它里面的脑是比达尔文的脑还大一点点。
Cro-Magnon man, people have studied maybe the brain actually is bigger than Darwin.
所以为这个缘故，达尔文的不一定头脑比他发达。
And because of that, the Darwin may not be so developed as compared to this man.
Cro-Magnon man 的化石来证明人是进化的，这个理论也是可怀疑。
Using a Cro-Magnon man to prove that we actually are evolved also cannot be something to embrace.
第三个人。
The third one,
叫做 Neanderthal man.
Neanderthal
man 这个头骨就斜出来的。
And also this guy actually slanting.
所以整个链是这样的。
And protruding.
那么他就说，你看，这个因为更早，所以人的头脑小得不得了，所以他们是
even
more early
man, even the brain is small.
这个很小的。
Small with a
bar. 这样的 Neanderthal man 的头脑一定很小，就表示他还没有这个。进化以前是很笨的动物。
And this, the brain is small, which means before the evolution, it must be a very a foolish man.
后来就有个生物学家。
And there was a biologist.
为了认为这个理论不对。
And to disprove this theory,
他就把法国有一个很重要的将军在历史上战胜仇敌的一个将军的怪头颅拿来做比较。
And took it compared to the scar of a very strange general of France.
A very successful,
successful one.
这个人叫做 Lafayette.
Lafayette.
The Lafayette 将军的这个头骨也是一样一样这样。
And same thing protruding.
而把他头骨的比例算出来，里面的脑啊是比这个 Neanderthal man 的脑还更小一点点。
And even the brain is smaller than the other man.
所以这证明什么呢？
What does it prove?
不在乎你脑多大，你才多聪明。
It doesn't matter how big a brain is, so that you want to say how intelligent you are.
医学界告诉我们，有一些人生出来头太大，变成笨得要死。
Medical field would tell us if people are born with big head, they may be stupid.
里面不是单单脑，又充满很多水在里面。
Because not only there's a brain, there's a water.
所以这个大头的孩子很多是笨得不得了。
And they could be stupid.
我就曾经看见了一个。永远不准出门，他妈妈把他锁在房里，因为怕家丑外扬，人家看不起他。
I've seen also someone who has been locked in a house because the mother doesn't want him to go out.
那有一次我们去为这个家庭祷告的时候
，And there was one we went and prayed for this family.
他就许可牧师看一看。
So he allowed, she allowed the pastor to go and take a look.
我看我吓了一跳，他的头比平常大两倍。
I was frightened because the head was so big.
但是这个人永远还到他的。十多岁那一天还不会叫什么叫的爸爸叫的妈妈。
Until he was ten or so, he could not call mom or dad.
所以 Cro-Magnon 的头脑里面的容量是比大人的脑还更大。
Cro-Magnon man actually the brain capacity is bigger than Darwin.
The under the man 里面的容脑的脑的体积也是比拉法耶还更大。
The under the man also the brain is bigger than Lafayette.
但拉法耶将军脑小小的，他的战略智慧聪明。
But even though Lafayette's brain is small, but yet he's so clever.
是历史上法国无人出其右的。
And down the history, no one can compare to him in France.
所以这些都在证明进化的理论的假设的本身是不一定的。
Only but to say that presupposition evolution may not be true.
那其他 Tanzanica man, East African man,
East African man,
我就不多讲了。
I won't say it again.
但我也提到一个。假冒科学的骗局给你听。
I want to tell about fake inside science.
就是英国也在 Piddown 这个地方。
In England, at this place, Piddown,
找到了一个化石。
They found a fossil.
然后他们就把这个化石带进大英博物馆里面。
That with this fossil, they bring the British Museum.
大英博物馆是世界历史上第一个最伟大的博物馆。
The Great Britain Museum actually one of the greatest in England.
这都全世界
the whole world,
这到现今世界最重要历史最久藏污最多的博物馆是大英博物馆。
Actually it's a Great Britain Museum that has the biggest collection and the biggest store in the world.
我自己进去了三次。
I've been there three times.
每一次我要花五六个钟头才走马看花看一遍。
And every time I've got to spend 5 or 6 hours before I take a glance at it.
你知道大英博物馆里面的藏品有多少吗？
You know Great Britain Museum, how big is the collection?
How big is the collection?
How big is the collection?
How many items have been collected?
Do you know? 多少项东西呢？
More than 3 million.
More than 3 million.
超过300万件。
3 million items.
那里面包括 Elgin Marble from Athens.
From Athens, Elgin Marble.
包括呢 the ancient mummy from Egypt.
From Egypt also.
包括了敦煌千夫洞这一个的莫高窟。The 唐朝的佛教的那个壁画
，and also this mural of Tang Dynasty 敦煌，
包括了西夏 还有这个大夜市国度里面最重要的玉器在里面。
哎，二是的揭穿了西夏，
所以差不多完全人类所有米索波大米到波斯到埃及到中国到印度到苏俄到印第安人前后几千年的东西都收藏在大英博物馆里面。
Items of few thousand years across and abroad from the east to west are collected now in the Great Britain Museum.
当他们发现在披岛有一个头骨的时候，
So when they found that the 披岛 there's a fossil,
有一个人的化石的时候，
And there's a fossil of humankind,
他们很高兴，英国的人也有很远古的历史。
So they are very happy because they say that even the England had a long history.
所以这个就叫做 first Englishman.
They were called the first Englishman.
Pitau man was called the first Englishman.
The Pitau man was called the first Englishman.
英国人感到他们的历史悠久，有 Pitau man 做证据，就把这一个 Pitau man 的化石就带进大英博物馆。
So that this fossil, because England feel so proud, they put it in the Great Britain Museum.
直到什么时候呢？
Until when?
直到1953
Until 1953,
你们可以去查 internet 啊。
You can go and check with internet.
可能你会找到 Pitau man.
Pitau man.
P I L T D O W N.
Pitau man.
啊 ，Pitau man. 那么这个呢，你查出的时候，你发现什么呢
？So when you try to check it, you find what?
1953年
，In 1953,
有三个科学家
，There were three scientists.
他们证明出来
，They prove
里面的化学。住进去的那一个 carbon 14是后加的，是假的。
They find that the carbon 14 we have been injected into the fossil is a fake one.
什么叫 carbon 14呢？
What about carbon 14?
你再写下来 C 14.
C 14 carbon 14.
Carbon 14.
Carbon 14.
这是鉴定一个骨头多久所用的办法。
This is a methodology whereby they use to fix the age of a fossil.
原来一个骨头啊。
Enough for a bone.
它经过几百年、几千年越久越老的时候，里面的钙质跟里面的东西，你慢慢慢慢就慢慢化解出来。
You know the calcium and the rest slowly they still.
像刚才我提到的 entropy 的事情。
When I say entropy,
用 carbon 14的这个化解出来，在里面的跟着四周围的比例多少，可以。证明这一个骨头到底是几千年以前人死的时候的。
They measure the proportion of the retained carbon 14 and the one which is lost, and they can fix the year.
进化论的学者怎么知道这个 Cro-Magnon 是几十万年呢
？So how can they find that this Cro-Magnon man have a few million years?
进化论的学者怎么知道北京猿人是几十万年或者几百万年呢
？And also the one evolution, how they will fix how old this Beijing man is?
他们就用 carbon 14的办法去把它查出来。
The method of C14.
问题是 carbon 14这个办法本身到底准确不准确？
But the problem is that C14 measure is it very accurate?
到底可靠不可靠？
Is it very reliable?
所以经过几十年研究以后呢？
After decades of studies,
开始动摇，因为这个办法来查出的年代跟另外一个办法查出的年代会差十倍。
They find that we're using C40 and another method, the difference may be tenfold.
那么另外的办法是什么呢？
What's another method?
是 fluorescence 的办法。
Fluorescence.
So fluorescence 是另外一种化学的元素。
Fluorescence is another chemical element.
这样现在。